Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father. And with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner. No down payment required and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome in to another episode, another edition of Cabali and Mac. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. Follow us on all the social media at Cabali and Mac. And of course, subscribe on YouTube. We got some awesome giveaways. It feels like going in a million different directions with that. And we want to thank everybody who helps us with that. We got your chance to win the free ticket to the Marc-Andre Fleury signing at First and Goal Sports out at South Hills Village next Saturday, September 20th. Keep an eye out for the posts on X that you need to retweet to be involved in that drawing. Of course, we got the autographed Will Howard helmet, the autographed Stone Cold Steve Austin vest up for grabs if you subscribe on YouTube. And we've also got, if you follow on Instagram, that Yoli's gift certificate, $100 to spend at Yoli's Cucina and Craft House. Get a good meal, maybe a frosty ice cold iron or two as well. We appreciate everybody who supports us, including all you wonderful people out there watching us a little early this morning because Kaboom's got to head down to Southside and talk to the coordinators and pester Danny Smith, special teams coach, about his balls.
Let's hope. Danny doesn't like to talk about his balls very often.
For those of you that didn't catch up on yesterday's episode yet or haven't been paying attention, we had an extensive conversation about K-balls, the balls that the kickers use during games and how they're different this year than they have been in a long time. And Kaboom's chasing down the story.
I got some insider information about what transpires and some of the rules and that you might not know of, but we'll get to that. When we get to that.
You just hold your water there, big guy. Thanks to Southwest Greens for supporting the show as well. Southwest Greens PA, the place to go for grass that never needs to be mowed, watered, or fertilized. You heard me right. It looks, feels, and acts like natural grass in just about any environment. They've got that awesome, what's it called, hydro chill cooling technology that defies the summertime heat and holds up in the wintertime too. So you can use your yard whenever you want to without having to worry about mowing it, trimming the weeds, spraying the fertilizer or the weed killers or all that other crap you got to do. All the money, time, and effort spent on your lawn could be saved by getting in touch with SouthwestGreensPA.com. Have the best looking yard in the neighborhood with the least amount of maintenance. They've been on board from the very beginning, and we appreciate their support as well. So look, I'm going to be real clear. We are just a couple of goofs that talk about sports, specifically Pittsburgh sports, and mostly the Steelers. So nobody wants to hear our opinions on anything. But I do think on a day like today, Kaboom, it is the 24th anniversary of September 11th. We all remember, unless you're like under the age of 30, we all remember where we were, what that day was like for us. And in some cases, we may have friends or family members who lost some friends or just were in a terrible situation that day. And I don't know, in light of everything that happened yesterday, both in Colorado and in Utah, I guess I'm a very nostalgic guy. Okay. And I'll say this, I'm not nostalgic for the feelings of September 11th and that day specifically and calling on people to check on them and all the stuff that went down. But I am nostalgic for a time when, in the aftermath of the horribleness of September 11th, we all kind of came together as a country, and we were all on the same page, regardless of our political views or our ideological views or what other people looked like or any of that stuff. We were all just Americans. And so, again, in light of everything that happened yesterday, and we're not going to get into the political, ideological differences between folks, but I kind of feel nostalgic for a time when we were all on the same page.
I like, not to reminisce, but everybody, like you said, has a story of where they were on September 11th. I was at the McKeesport Daily News. This tells you how long ago it's been. You think, well, September 11th, that wasn't that long ago. No, it was long ago. I was in the newsroom where we put the paper out, PM paper, so we were there in the morning. We were so behind with technological advances, I guess. I mean, our internet was barely working. We didn't have TVs in the building at all. We had to rely on a transistor radio and calling people at home that was watching what was transpiring at the time, just to even know what's going on. Now you get in real time, and if it's, you know, obviously you know what goes on there. But in the sports world, in the aftermath of that, just having conversations of where do you go from here?
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't know what was going on. You didn't know if there was going to be sports. You didn't know if there was going to be wars. You didn't know what was going on. So it's just a different perspective of people that growing up nowadays don't realize what happened 25 years ago and what the stuff that we had to, I mean, not put up with, but the stuff that we were faced with of the unknown at the time. It's just,
well, and like you said, in the aftermath, when we did get back to sports, and then
that was a week later, though, right?
Yeah, when we did get back to sports, I mean, we all remember some of the tributes, obviously. You know, I still remember President Bush at the time walking out to throw out the first pitch during the World Series a month later.
Good story with Jeter saying, you better go from the mound, man.
Yeah. So, look, again, We'll get into Steelers Seahawks here in a second. I just, again, wanted to say, especially in light of everything yesterday and all the division that exists in our society now, man, I am nostalgic. I am an old nostalgic man sometimes for the days of, hey, let's all rally around each other, regardless of what that other person may think or feel. And so I don't have any other poignant words other than that. I just wanted to, especially on this anniversary, this date, kind of get that off of my chest.
I just say, in light of yesterday, you know, both places, you just hope it's just one unstable person rather than the alternative of a group of.
Yeah. And again, without getting too deep into it, it's just every day something happens, it feels like. And it would be nice for one day for everybody to kind of feel, like I said.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Before, like, we're all on the same page again. And it feels like we're farther away from that than ever. All right, let's talk football. Let's talk Steelers. Before we do so, perfect podcast to listen to this time of year, especially on this anniversary. Third Do First In, firefighters and first responders podcast, guys who are in that walk of life every single day. Keith and Gino have a ton of stories. They've had guests on their last couple episodes talking about 9/11 and the response to it, how it's changed that world. You want the good and the bad of that lifestyle, whether you're in it or you just want to hear about it. Check out Third Do First In. We got to thank them for jumping on board and supporting the show as well. All right, Seahawks are in town on Sunday. Steelers home opener. Heinz Field, I'll never call it Acrisure Stadium. I wonder how DK Metcalf feels about all this playing against his former team. Of course, colleague, Brian Batko had to jump in.
Sir.
Nah. You steady trying to make this about them, cuz. No, I ain't heard from nobody.
Well, I was going to say, you know, Seahawks fans, it's going to be a big deal for them. I'm sure Steelers fans are excited to see you out there, too, at home for the first time. What's the excitement just to get to Acrisure Stadium to make it about you?
Well, it's about us at the end of the day. Looking forward to playing in front of the Pittsburgh Steelers fans. It's going to be my first time back here in a couple years. So just looking forward to the excitement of, you know, the first home game.
We got a big Aaron Rodgers revenge game in Jersey against the Jets last Sunday. Kaboom. You want to stir the pot a little bit? Let's stir the pot a little bit.
Okay, back there trying to stir it up. And DK's like, we ain't going there.
Yeah, but let's not pretend like DK doesn't want to go out there and carve up his former team. You said it last week about Rodgers, and I think it's accurate. Regardless of how you leave a situation, you want to show those other guys that you're still at the top of your game and that they made a mistake and willing to let you go.
Yeah, not right now, though. Maybe in about 3 days. But even then, I don't think he doesn't come off of a guy that would even let anything slip out. Say, yeah, they wanted to get rid of me or I wanted to go. This is why. He's a guy that's very
composed.
Very composed, very nice. So I'm a little surprised of the little, yo, cuh, we trying to make this about us? Because that was the first time I've ever heard that little tone of voice from DK. He's a pretty polished, not polished, but he's a pretty calculated guy, well-known. I mean, very likable guy, very knows what he says, doesn't get angry. Everybody's sir, everybody's ma'am.
Right.
So he's like, I didn't really hear what was going on before that. That might have been the 18th question about it. And he was like, oh, come on, enough already. But it's fine. I mean, hey, talk after, don't talk before. That's fair.
And I don't think DK will say anything after either, even if he has 8 catches for 130 yards and 2 touchdowns. Like, I just be on to New England.
What Aaron Glenn said about the – what Aaron Rodgers said about Aaron Glenn, get out. Or Aaron Glenn said about Aaron Rodgers, get out.
Yeah, I don't think – like you said, DK is very composed, knows exactly what to say, sticks to the yes sirs, no ma'ams, all that. But you know – In here, he wants to go out there and have a big day. And look, given what's going on in Seattle's secondary this week, he could be in for a big day. Like, their first injury report of the week included Devin Witherspoon not practicing. We already talked yesterday a little bit about Nick Emmanuari, who they're going to decide whether to put on IR or not. He didn't play a ton of snaps in week one, but a young guy that they want to use in a versatile role all over the secondary and even up in the box. Julian Love, one of their safeties, was limited as well. And I guess they could come out, I said this yesterday, in a lot of vanilla coverages because they don't have some of those guys that either they trust on an island in some instances, like Witherspoon, or that they trust to move around like Emmanuari. If they come out looking fairly vanilla, maybe not up front, but in the secondary, gives Rodgers and DK a chance to make some simple reads and some quick hitters for big plays.
You see, that's what they've done all preseason, all training camp, all since April or whatever, since they've been here, since I guess it has been August now or late July, is you can have pressure and they're good enough and they've practiced enough to get rid of those quick passes where DK gets the ball and turns it upfield quickly. I mean, I don't think you're going to see many down the field throws to DK, which you did not see week one. You saw screens, you saw quick hitters, you saw crossers. So he doesn't have to hold on to the ball as much. So one thing you can do is to stop this is to pressure the quarterback, make him uncomfortable. But if you're able to then get by that with the quick throws, and who's going to jam DK at the line?
Nobody. He does that thing like you used to do to little brothers or cousins where you just put your hand or your palm of your hand on their forehead and they swing like this. That's DK against some corners. Like, he's just big and strong.
Arthur Smith was putting this offense together. You have to believe he was thinking, okay, our offensive line might be a little bit not up to par early on. So what do we have to do? We got a quarterback and get rid of the ball extremely quick and extremely accurate and a big physical receiver. There's nobody going to freaking jam into the line of scrimmage. let's focus on that right there. So even if they do have another bad offensive line game, I don't think that really takes them out of their game plan.
Well, I mean, you could see it on the first few throws. And really, like you said, they didn't go downfield to DK really much at all. You know, the ping pong catch or the pinball catch that he made at the end was kind of down the seam, but that wasn't even really deep downfield. The first catch he made was a quick hitter, catch and run. That's what he does best. You've been saying that all summer. And if he and Rodgers have already gotten down the rhythm, and then you add some pretty basic and vanilla coverages because Seattle can't be as diverse as they want to in the secondary, I think it opens up a lot of opportunities for them on Sunday.
Oh, by the way, you always got the Calvin Austin situation. He walked by me yesterday. I said, don't you think I should be the assistant to the assistant GM? I told you they should have signed you. He goes, you know it. I said, don't worry. Every catch is cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. He seemed to enjoy that.
You trying to get like a 1% cut on that?
Just listen to me, man. Just listen to me. The guy is a good player.
He looked like it in week one. I'm not worried about the receiving core going into week two between him and Skoranek. And we didn't.
You're throwing Skoranek out there.
I'm throwing Skoranek in there.
What I'm saying is,
man caught a touchdown pass, Kaboom.
Would you have said that 3 months ago?
No.
Would you have said that 2 months ago? Would you have said it 2 weeks ago?
I was worried to death 6 days ago, man. Are you kidding
me? You know, listen, when we said there's no way Skoranek's getting cut. Why? Because you need guys like Ben Skoranek to be able to win a title or something like that.
At the very least, they needed guys like Skoranek and Austin coming up big this past Sunday to win in week one. You need your Haas taken care of, right? You're tired of the dings and dents in the walls. You're tired of the same old basic white contractor's paint that you got on the wall behind you like Mark. Time to call Higgins professional painting. Look, it's not your fault. That's the way they build the houses.
Fish the thing at the bottom there.
What's that?
It says visit Southwest Greens.
It rotates through. You know this. I know you have no idea about how technologically this thing works.
What do I tell everybody,
you
Matt?
You just open your laptop and say, hey, can you hear me? I can't hear you. Can you hear me?
What do I tell people? What do I tell people? You're the brains. I'm the beauty. So,
Jesus, we're screwed in both regards then. Your house could look great, though, if you get a hold of the Higgins professional painting team. They can do it all. I mentioned the dings and the dents. Maybe you got kids who've torn up the house. Kids do that. We both know. They can do drywall repair, interior, exterior painting. They can even do commercial and industrial if you have your own business that you're thinking about getting a fresh coat on to make everything look great. Up the curb appeal of your home, both inside and outside. Get in touch with Higgins Professional Painting. They've been doing it for four decades, man, from Don all the way down through the family. And that's the best part. It's a family-run business that knows how to take care of their people, both internally and externally. That includes you, the customer. HigginsProfessional.com. 412-344-0480 to schedule your free estimate. Get in touch with them today. Again, HigginsProfessional.com. And
I have a question. When they come over to my house, whenever it is, next week, 2 weeks, whenever it is, would it be proper to offer them a mango, Icy Light mango, or not?
I mean, it's always proper to offer one.
Or the should I just say, hey, you want a drink of water? You want an Icy Light? I mean,
I think you go with the open-ended, like, multiple choice option. Like, hey, what's up? Good to see you, Corey. You know, hey, you need something to drink? Water, Gatorade, Icy Light, mango? And then he's like, oh, Mark, it's 11 a.m., brother. And you're like, oh, take one for the road, you know? You can keep it cold, have it later after work, you know, something like that. Just a thought.
My wife always wants me, hey, you tipping them? I'm like, yeah, I'm tipping them by buying their stuff. I'm talking about like when, like, the furniture people come. But then I end up tipping them because I figure.
Well, yeah, you got to tip delivery guys when they're carrying.
I'm at the point right now where I always have this thought in my mind. What if he knows me? He thinks I'm a cheap ass. I got to do it.
Yeah, you have to. You don't want people going back and be like, yeah, that Cabali guy. Tightwad.
Yeah, cheap ass son of a.
No, you don't need that. Yeah. Speaking of the chemistry that Metcalf and Rodgers have worked on and the quick hitters, getting the ball out quick. We did see Aaron Rodgers take some hits on Sunday, We did see him. He didn't look jittery in the pocket, but like he had to move around and climb the pocket a few times, and he could feel the pressure, definitely. He was asked about his mobility and also Broderick Jones as well.
I might be old, but I still feel like I can move around pretty good, and I wasn't moving the way I usually like to move. So I thought the protection was good for the most of the game. There's a couple of fundamental things to clean up, but Pat's, you know, take care of those guys, and I just got to get the ball up. I was a little tight. Back was a little tight.
Broderick said you gave a lot of communication that he really appreciated. Do you have a playbook for handling a young guy in a situation like that?
No, just like to talk to him directly. And I really like Rod. I've got to know him during training camp, and I like what he's about. I like his attitude. He's a genuinely positive guy. And I got a lot of confidence in him watching my back.
So before we get to the mobility issues and the back tightness, he talked about Broderick Jones. And Broderick spoke in the locker room yesterday. So did Troy Faltanu. We'll hear from Zach Frazier in just a couple of minutes as well. The one thing I get from all of them is, yeah, Aaron gives us feedback. He tells us when we screw up or, you know, like, and none of them, Zach Frazier even said it. He's like, you know, I don't mind that. Like, I appreciate that. It sounds like, and Broderick Jones didn't look down in the dumps or anything like that yesterday. We talked about it a bit on yesterday's episode. He looked to be in good spirits and just admitted, hey, I didn't play well enough and I got to play better. And this thought that Aaron Rodgers is going to like go to the coaching staff and demand a change at left tackle, or this thought that Broderick Jones is going to turn into a human turnstile, it could happen, sure. But it's not going to happen for a while, and it seems like everything is still kosher and good. And who knows? Broderick Jones could get right back on track against Seattle.
Yeah, he showed some maturity yesterday. He could have easily deflected and saying, hey, you know, this was 100% my fault or anything. But he sat there. He owned it. He sat in front of multiple people, multiple levels of people that came in and out and was asking the questions and didn't even think about making an excuse. And, you know, he was a little bit down in the dumps. He was sort of compared to what he normally is. I mean, he could tell that it was bothering him some. That's good. That's fine. I mean, let it bother him because he did struggle a little bit. But if you're getting support from the quarterback, and don't make any mistake about Rodgers saying, you know, I need, you know, my back hurts and I wasn't as mobile as possible. Do you see the little grin? Yeah, my back. Sounds like he was jumping on the grenade a little bit for his left tackle.
You think?
That's what it sounded like to me.
Bad hotel bed at the Renaissance Newark or wherever the hell they stayed.
I wouldn't know because I didn't have a hotel room in there. No, it was sort of like the one I stayed in camp that my back hurt for like a month. By the way, this son of a bitch still won't get back to me.
No, they're not going to.
Oh, so I'm taking a different angle right now. So I will not lose.
Okay, what's your next step then? For those that didn't catch it, Kaboom didn't get his flight got canceled on Saturday to New Jersey. So then he didn't show up for his hotel room Saturday night. He had already paid for the hotel room for two nights. So they no-showed him, took his money, and he was out of a room when he showed up on Sunday night and had to ride home with the Trib guys.
They wanted me to pay again.
Joe Rutter for being nice enough to drive Kaboom all the way back.
They wanted me to pay again for the room that I already paid for, and I was sitting there ready to get it. I'm like, whoa.
So you've tried calling and complaining. You've tried calling and complaining to get your money back. Yeah. You know that's not going to happen now.
They keep telling me, oh, it's under review. I'm like, how long does it take to review? You screwed me. Give me my money back.
Give them 6 to 8 weeks.
Don't make me turn ugly on this.
Uh-oh. What are you going to do?
Maybe I'll tweet at them.
You got to do like I did for the terrible Comfort Inn in Hershey this summer and just leave like an awful 2-page review. I'll do that if people are bad enough.
You know, but you never put a good one up.
But yeah, I do, actually. I'll leave a good 5-star review.
Every time I call every day now, and they're like, oh, it's still under review. Oh, it's still under the review. Oh, it's still under review.
So you really think Rodgers was just taking one for the team there, talking about his back being tight?
I mean, you can't sit and pause it. Did you see the look? Like, I think he was.
Okay.
I think I could be wrong, but I think he was.
Hold on. So I want to be clear about something, because Rodgers did look – he doesn't move like even 36-year-old Aaron Rodgers anymore, and I get it, right?
He just gets outside the tackle box. That's all you need. What do you want him to do?
No, look, I don't want him to do his best Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen impression here, but do you think he's going to move like that the rest of the year, assuming he stays healthy, the way he did this past Sunday?
Yeah, I don't see. I mean, I haven't noticed any difference from the first day he stepped out here on minicamp. I mean, we saw that one video that was surfacing and looked like he was 150 years old. I'm like, I haven't seen that yet. It says AI. I mean, he's not gonna be Lamar Jackson anytime soon, but he can move enough to be able to.
Well, he moved enough
to play actions and be able to move the pocket a little. But you only have to move 5 feet one way or the other.
He was able to move well enough to complete 3 touchdown passes on play action when he was on the move. So, yeah, to your point, I find it curious that he would feel the need to do that. But whatever, it's just Aaron being Aaron, I think.
Well, I mean, that's how I read it. Doesn't mean that's what it meant. It's just how
you were the Rodgers whisperer.
Hey, Aaron, you gave that little look. What were you talking about?
Were you hiding behind the screen, the backdrop again for Aaron Rodgers' media availability?
I couldn't hear it. So I snuck around.
I saw some pictures of you like poking your head around the corner.
Yeah, because I couldn't hear my original. He talks so low and there's 170 people around him, so you can't hear anything unless you jam your way through that. And I'm not into crowds. So, I was behind, and there was a little opening next to Pursuit, and I stuck my head in there.
I saw that. You just kind of poked your head up.
Of course, let's stop it at the most worst spot. I'm looking like this. Okay, let's stop it. Look, this is where he's doing. What the hell?
It's become a thing now. You know that, right? Let's catch Kabali in the background of a shot and see how goofy we can make him look.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Let's see how goofy you can make him look by stopping at the right exact location.
Don't take it personally. Everybody just likes to have fun with you.
No, you know what you do is you look at there when it's so far away and you can't hear, so you squint your eyes, it makes you hear better.
Squinting your eyes helps you hear better.
Yeah, that's what that was all about.
It's a hell of a concept, man. Hell of a concept. Squinting makes you hear, it's like turning the radio down in the car when you're in. I've heard people do that.
Like I do that.
When the weather's like bad and you're trying to focus while you're driving in snow or something, you turn the radio down. It's like, I don't think that's going to help you drive any better, but okay.
I went to Raw back in June. I had like 3 kids in the back just yapping it up. And it was right during rush hour because they did both shows and it was no place to park. Everything was shut down. I'm like, would you guys be quiet? I'm trying to figure this out.
See, that's when I turn the radio up. So that I can drown out the noise. But that's just me.
That's watch this podcast.
Best place to go tonight for the Thursday night game or any day of the week for any game, football or otherwise. Archie's on Carson, Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, and sports. 80-cent wing nights, Mondays through Thursday. Yeah, that includes tonight. Plus, the rest of the menu is awesome as well. The wings are fantastic, but great sandwiches, burgers, flatbread pizzas too. And yes, they're open all day, Saturdays and Sundays, noon to 2 a.m. for all the games. So get in there, get some wings, get a nice cold iron, and watch some football down at Archie's on the south side. We appreciate Arch supporting the show.
Nice night, though. Washington,
Green Bay. This is a good one. This is a possible playoff preview.
Yeah, forget that. It's a possible let's eat some wings preview.
Well, it's not a preview if that's what you're doing.
I'm saying if you try and get back into the swing of the wings and football, tonight's the night at Archie's wing night. I love it.
Any night is a good night. Just wait till there's useless Mac games on Tuesday and Wednesday nights.
I'm already really familiar with a useless Mac, by the way.
Seriously? I totally stepped right on that one. I mean, that was just totally stepped right on.
Is CFO Phil on the chats? Because I see the old Pat McAfee shouting out the For the Brand shirt.
Oh yeah, maybe that's Phil under the old Pat McAfee Show handle. I don't know. But shout outs to Phil if he is. So one of your favorite guys spoke yesterday. I mentioned offensive lineman.
Who's that?
Zach Frazier. And he was asked about the run game, what they can do to improve it, and also just the diversity of looks they might get from Seattle this weekend.
What do you guys need to do to get the run game?
Yeah, I feel like we were, one block away a lot of times, and it's just details again. Everyone's got to be on the same page.
What are some of the challenges that Seattle's defense poses compared to some of the challenges the Jets pose? I know Seattle likes to bring a lot of simulated pressure.
Yeah, they bring a lot of pressure. There's a lot of movement on the line. It seems like the D linemen, they move a lot, so we have to be ready for that and be ready to adjust to that.
Do you really get the feeling that they were, like, as Zach says, one block away on some of those runs on Sunday?
You're always one block away, right?
I don't know. Sometimes the line falls apart and your running back gets hit in the backfield over and over again. We saw that a lot the last few years with Najee.
Yeah. I mean, I think the point was is he doesn't think they're far off as maybe people think they are. But you don't have to give guys like Jaylen Warren much room to be able to be successful. There's a very fine line, as Bill Cowher would say, between maybe a 2-yard loss and a 10-yard gain, and it could be just one block. I didn't go down and break it down of, hey, if he got one more block, how many more yards he would have gotten. But I don't think – plus, you know, that's a very stout defensive line. That's a very tough opener for a younger offensive line to have that Jets defensive line. So I'm not too worried about that quite yet of them not being able to run. I think you're going to see a lot more Jaylen Warren, a lot more out of the both lines this year, this week. I mean, defensively and offensively, where you're going to see a Jaylen Warren is that featured back. By the way, I saw him at practice yesterday, not holding one, but holding two balls at all times.
Really? He must have dropped something at practice. If they're
normally he does that like every single practice with at least one ball, but I saw him with two.
High and tight.
He knows there's an issue with him, and he does all he can possibly can to be able to remedy that. It's not like he's just saying, well, whatever. Trust me, he puts a lot of effort and work into trying to have ball security.
I mean, credit to him as a dude who just signed a contract extension for continuing to put in the work. I'll give him that. I do think the Seattle front seven probably, I don't know if I'd call it on par with New York's front seven, but it's not far off. You got some big hosses up front. You got Byron Murphy, you got Leonard Williams, DeMarcus Lawrence. And I think the more important thing
10 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, I think the more interesting part of this is, I think it was Jenna that asked them there about the false pressures and things that they'll show. This is a very, and I think Zach may have even mentioned it at another point in his availability, or somebody mentioned it. Maybe it was Aaron. This is a very Baltimore-like defense. Obviously, Ben McDonald spent 10 years or 9 out of 10 years in the Baltimore system to the point where he just climbed the ladder to become their D coordinator before he took the job in Seattle last year. So it's not surprising that they do a lot of Ravens-like things. And I'll be curious to see this offensive line, which, again, is still coming together, but I would think would have some familiarity with Ravens-like concepts in the front seven, how prepared they'll be for that and how well they handle it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know how to answer that. I don't know if I would compare them to that. Maybe they have some of the tendencies, but you got to have the personnel. Like I said, that defensive line that you rattled off there is very impressive to me a couple of years ago. But
yeah,
give me the younger guys right now. But I think this offensive – I mean, I think this is a big week for the offensive line just because they have to rebound. And I think this is the proper time with the home game, a Seattle team that they can need to be able to rebound. So if they come out of this game getting dominated again by a defensive line or a defense front seven, then I think you start to at least have a little bit of concern with what's going on right here. Right now, I think that's I wouldn't be quite concerned right now. And honestly, I look at this game, Mac, and it's just, I hate to say it, but I hate to speak in absolutes because only a Sith speaks in absolutes. My goodness, I can't see them losing this game.
Your Star Wars nerdom is underrated, I think. I don't think people realize. I think they just think you and they think like Karate Kid and football movies. I think your Star Wars fandom is highly underrated by people.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm not much into the newest ones.
Sure.
I mean, I was a big, the Book of Boba Fett stuff when it was on Disney the past 5-6 years. But I think they're making a movie. Aren't they making a movie now?
No, they're always making movies and shows. There's too much content.
One with Baby Yoda, Grogu, was very, very good. But some of these other ones, it's like it's so deep into the weeds of the original trilogy and people offshoots of that. It's like, I don't even know who these people are.
I just didn't have Kabali dropping a Sith reference on my bingo card for today.
Because only a Sith Lord speaks in absolutes, right?
But I think the greater point there is, and I kind of feel this way too, like, I feel pretty good about Sunday's game. They're only favored by 3.
You're worried about that, right? when you feel good about a game, it's like, eh.
Like, I think I feel better about this one coming in than I did about the Jets game going in. And maybe that's because we saw the offense put up, like I said, 34 points. And it feels like some of the things on defense can be remedied. It doesn't feel like the running game for Seattle is as strong as New York's potentially could be. There's just a lot of reasons. Like, I look at this game and all of a sudden the Seahawks never really intimidated me coming into this season when I looked at the schedule, but it's kind of like, they should be able to handle this.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, I don't think this is a playoff team, the Seahawks. I mean, offensively and defensively. I mean, I don't think their run game's very stout. I don't think they have enough weapons on offense. I mean, if Cooper Kupp's your number two, he's obviously taking a big step backwards. I don't even know who their tight end is. I think we've went over that already. They're going on the road into Pittsburgh after Pittsburgh really didn't play a good front seven type of game or a defensive offensive line type of game. Aaron Rodgers, I mean, everything's set up for them to be able to run away with this one. However, we know that the Steelers don't tend to run away with anything. But I think if you come out of this game with a loss, I think it's a missed opportunity.
Yeah, because they should be able to take what worked on offense last week, do a lot of it again, I would hope. And then also you have some steady improvement in the run game. And obviously, hopefully, some big steps forward on the defensive side in your own ability to stop the run. I mean, and their tight ends, by the way, are A.J. Barner and Elijah Arroyo. They drafted Arroyo in the second round this year. I didn't realize that.
The other thing is maybe what we saw at their offense, they don't have to stick to that. They don't have an identity. Their identity is of they can do multiple things. So whatever they did properly correct that worked against the Jets does not mean that they're going to just go right back to that. This could be heavy tight end game. This could be heavy running game. I mean, you might not see DK Metcalf or Calvin Austin at all, or you could. I mean, I think the options are what makes this offense interesting right now. You never know what you're going to get right
see,
now.
See, I don't necessarily feel the same level of confidence that if they had to, they could run 35 times for 180 yards or something.
You'd be shocked if they did, right? I wouldn't.
I wouldn't be shocked. I would be somewhat surprised. Like, I still think what you saw against the Jets should be how you attack these next couple of teams, both the Seahawks and the Patriots.
More tight end. I'd like to see more tight end play.
And maybe even how you attack the Vikings, because we know how they like the blitz with Flores running things over there. Like, get Rodgers in a rhythm quick. I sound like a broken record. get the ball to DK and the tight ends quickly, early, build a rhythm there, move the ball downfield. Hell, you get on the other side of the 50, you're in Boz's field goal range. So just get some points on the board on the first drive and feel like you've got a rhythm going there. And then let the run game come from there. Because like you've said, it's going to take a couple weeks probably for the run game to really hit its full stride and for this offensive line to really come together and gel. So let's be quick. Let's get the ball out. Let's get the guys moving with the ball. Rodgers is still great at that, hitting guys in stride and letting them make plays after the catch.
I still want to see the tight ends come into play. I want to see the 3-4 tight ends. I want to see if Jonnu Smith's going to be carrying the ball. I want to see what they do and create matchup issues just based on their tight ends alone. That's coming. Just don't know when that's coming. I would like to see that this week, though. So it just tells you they have different options. I mean, would you be surprised if they come out and, you know, 13 personnel or whatever?
No.
I don't even know if I call 14 personnel or whatever it is.
Hell, did Darnell even have a target last week? I don't think so, let alone a catch. This could be, I'm going to say this every week probably until he has one, but especially against this secondary, dealing with the injuries it's dealing with and the lack of versatility maybe in the secondary available to McDonald and the Seahawks. Like, this could be an opportunity to, like you said, 13 personnel, Darnell, catch a little something 6 yards down the field in the seam or in the curl and just steamroll a couple safeties and corners to a 15, 20-yard pickup.
What I would like to see is them to come out and just dominate. I mean, when's the last time you saw this team really dominate a team?
It's been a while.
I mean, I'm sure there's one that I'm forgetting maybe from last year, but, you know, one that's put away. You don't really have to think about it. Just go out there and exude your will on somebody.
Exude your will. Watch what you're exuding all over people, okay?
Easy. Quit talking about – you know, you were talking about balls and – going to Dick's yesterday. Now you're talking about this.
You're the one that brought it up. You're the one asking Tomlin about ball handling.
No. I said kicking balls. He's the one that said manipulating balls.
I want to say the Browns game last December, the home game. That wasn't dominant from start to finish, but it felt like it by the end.
Came back late, didn't it? The Browns are in it late.
Maybe. I think the Steelers got a late touchdown to make it comfortable. It ended up being 27-14. But you're right. There haven't been a ton of games where you felt comfortable from beginning to end.
Nah, I don't remember any. I mean, I couldn't even – maybe. Nah, Chargers. Nah, I'm just trying to think back to even the year before that. They just don't play that way or haven't played that way.
Which isn't good because – when you do,
that's a league thing too. I mean, how many teams are really?
There's a ton of parity. Yeah. But like, if you get an opportunity to take a lead, build on the lead, and not feel like you don't feel comfortable at all in this league. I mean, look at some of the comebacks we had in week one until you're under 2 minutes and the ball is in your hands and you're up by multiple scores. Like, that's when comfortable really becomes a word. But just the ability to get a lead. And then maybe that's your opportunity to really pound the rock and build on the run game.
What they do need is, and we've talked about this before, is they got to come out of this first 4-game stretch with, you know, 3 wins, man.
At least, yeah.
Especially when we could be facing you down the stretch here of some tougher opponents here. So you would like to get as many wins possible early on.
If they don't stumble in these first 4 games, they could start the season 5-0 headed into Cincy.
Well, you go to Minnesota. I mean, you go over there, it's a coin flip. I don't care.
Yeah.
You're going across the pond. Who knows? I mean, you should win. There should be a lot of pro Steelers fans over there, but a lot of intangibles about getting over there and getting things right. I mean, you can go either way right there. So that's more of a coin flip game right there, but you should win.
But even if you don't win that one, and you're
next week, you go to New England, that's tough too. It's not like that's a gimme either, even though New England stinks.
But if they start 4-1, okay, let's say they start 4-1. Let's say they drop one to New England or Minnesota. They come out of the bye and they beat Cleveland at home. You're right. All of a sudden, that middle portion of the schedule, like basically late October through the first week of December, weeks, what, 7 through, what would it be? It would be like week 14, maybe. That's stacked. I mean, you've got a trip to Cincy. You got Green Bay at home. You got Indy, who all of a sudden looks like they may be something at home.
So you mean the team I picked to win the AFC South? You mean that?
You did, yeah. Good call by you. We'll see where it goes from here. You got to go to LA to play the Chargers, who looked really good on Friday night. And then what comes after that? Oh, Cincy again. And yeah, there's the trip to Chicago, but you got Buffalo, a trip to Baltimore in there.
But, you know, look at the last 2 years. 2 years ago, it was like, man, they better get out to a good start because they got that rough last three games of the season. I think it was, what, Baltimore, Seattle, and I forget who else. They ended up winning all three of them. Last year was like, okay, they have a tough schedule. Oh, they were what? 11-2? Oh, they just lost their last six games or whatever it was. So, I mean, we can sit here and talk that we know what's going on here, but the last 2 years have just been totally opposite of what you thought was going to happen. They went down the stretch in 2 years ago and shocked people, the Mason Rudolph stretch. And yeah. Last year they crapped the bed to Philly Chiefs. Who am I missing? Baltimore, right?
There was a Cincy loss in there too.
Yeah.
At home. Thanks to the Dan Heck team for supporting the show. We appreciate their support. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, they will take care of you. HeckTeamHomes.com, HAECK, HeckTeamHomes.com. The whole team ready to help you out. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, they are all there for you. You're looking to upgrade, move into a bigger house, a big old stately mansion in a state like Kaboom's. That's available. You're looking to downsize, maybe. The kids are getting out of the house, and you want to cozy up to the better half. Whatever it is, the Dan Heck team here to help you buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. HeckTeamHomes.com, HAECK. We appreciate their support of the show as well. All right, one more person we got to hear from yesterday's open locker room. Brand new to the program, Jabril Peppers.
It just is what it is. Sometimes, you know, you're not good enough. You play a long time in this league, you know, you're going to get traded or cut. So, you know, it is what it is. I'm happy Tomlin made the call. You know, he was a coach I definitely said I wanted to play for before I retired. And it just happened a lot sooner than I thought. But I'm happy to be here.
You wanted to play for Mike T before the end of your career. Why was that? Why is that?
One of the best to do it. You know, I already had the, you know, a chance to play for Bill. He was another guy I said I wanted to play for. Was it year 19, year 20 for him? Always puts his best foot forward, has his ball clubs in good positions at the end of the year, man. That's how can you not want to be a part of that?
Jabril Peppers sounded too like he was doing his best to get up to speed with everything. I said it yesterday, I'll say it again. This guy's like, a, in my opinion, just based on his style of play, like a plug and play in place of Deshaun Elliott. I don't know if it'll be that way on Sunday or not, because again, there's maybe some time to get up to speed. And I got to think they're fairly happy with what they saw from Clark and Thornhill in the second half against the Jets. But I just love the dude that this love the fact that this dude can do some of what Elliott does and lining up in different places and thumping people in the run game when he has to. And just it feels like he can play anywhere on the field.
Yeah. The only thing I think he still has a lot of juice. Just watching him warm up and going through some practice, and they were doing some semi-live type of stuff. He's still very explosive. He runs through the ball. When he puts his shoulder into you, they're going to know about it. The only thing you have to worry about is potential communication issues in the back end, because you've only been around a couple of days. And that's, you know, you one way to get beat by a team like Seattle or any team is have the communication errors like they tend to have the past couple of years. Take him out of that situation, then I think, yes, he can perform right away. So they might be a little hesitant of how much they use because they don't – or be a little bit vanilla in the back end, rely a little bit more on Patrick Queen maybe to set people up. But even if you're in the secondary, you have to – know what your responsibilities, and you know, if there's going to be a pick over here, who's going with who, what's my responsibility just based off of formations. which I don't know how long it would take him to get used to, get up to speed with that, right? He is a vet, of course. He should be quicker than the others, but that's the only thing that might hold him back a little this week, I think.
Yeah, I'm curious to see. I talked about like maybe some vanilla stuff due to personnel in the Seattle secondary. Like, where's JPJ as far as being ready for Sunday? And does Ramsey have to spend his whole day on the outside and not able to move around as much?
I don't think they would do that. I think they would.
Eccles
and Slay and just keep. Why would you want to move Jalen Ramsey after what he did? What he's been showing, what he did the other day, let him do his stuff. We can manipulate things around that.
Well, they're lucky too that at least against Seattle and again next week against New England, like there's not a lot of receivers that necessarily scare the crap out of you. Like Jackson Smith and Jigba can be very good. He's the number one in Seattle, obviously, but like I don't know if you necessarily, it's not the same as like a Garrett Wilson last week or a Justin Jefferson in 3 weeks or Chase a couple weeks after that. Like, I don't feel the need that you have to have somebody locked down on that guy. Good talk.
No, I'm just looking. I just got an email from the Steelers. I mean,
What's the problem?
Because every time they send me an email, it bounces back to them saying it's undeliverable. So they're like, are you going to New England? And I never get it. So it's like, hey, where's my credential at? Oh, you never responded to it because it always bounces back. And I don't.
Do they have the wrong email maybe?
No, it's not the wrong email, which I don't understand what's going on. It's been going on for months now.
Sounds like you need to talk to Bert.
I've talked to him. We went over it. Then it started to work again. Now it doesn't. So now I saw. Whatever. So what was your question? I get distracted because of crap like that.
I've told you before, like during the show, just don't pay attention to the rest of the computer.
Sometimes you need to.
Do you? Know,
I just sent you a text message and you don't even read it.
When did you send me a text? Oh, you did. Because I'm locked in on the show. I'm having a conversation with you.
We're going to have to use the private chat area.
Yeah, we are. Maybe then I'd actually see, we'd actually pay attention to each other here. There's a thought. No, I asked about, I just made the point, it's not even worth a response, really, that they don't face a receiver for the next 2 weeks, that they have to lock down a corner on and follow somebody around. Maybe in a couple weeks against Jefferson, you're tempted to do that, but not this week against Jackson Smith and Jigba. Not next week against whoever the hell the Patriots wide receiver
is. I find it less and less likely of Jalen Ramsey following anybody around the more we get into this. I think it's just going to be like what we saw against the Jets. I mean, there is no indication that he is going to follow Jamar Chase, Jefferson, whatever around. There just has been no indication anywhere since he's gotten here that that's going to be the case, even though Tomlin said that might be the case.
Well, I will say late in the game, in its most crucial moments, who was covering Garrett Wilson?
That was just some zone read. I think he made a nice read on that play, right?
Maybe. Did you actually sent something in the private chat? Look at that. Just typed, huh?
Did it work?
Yeah, it works.
This crap works.
You can click on everything else on the computer screen while we're doing a show, but you can't click on the little thing that says private chat.
Private chat. Then I'll say something not right, and it will go out to everybody.
Yeah, that's true. Real quick, I want to thank our friends at Impact HVAC for supporting the show as well. I've had them here to replace the furnace back, what was it, late spring when it was still kind of chilly out, and it was no problem. They came out here, they took a look, they tried to fix it at first, and then realized it couldn't be fixed, so they replaced the system for us, did it in one day. Fantastic job by them. Whether you just want to have a little maintenance done, have them give a tune-up of your furnace before it gets cold later this fall, or you're still running the AC because it's going to be warm this weekend and it's not running right, they'll come out and take a look for you. Message them on Facebook at Impact HVAC PGH, or give them a call, 412-297-1852. Thanks again to Impact HVAC for supporting the show. Why do you want to talk about the Cam contract?
Oh, did you see the particulars coming out?
No, give them to me.
Well, I haven't looked at that. No, I have to go find them now. I know what they are.
Hold on. You felt the need to send me a text.
Well, I read it all memorized.
Then bitch about the fact that I didn't respond to the text message. And then when I do respond and say, hey, yeah, sure, what do you want to talk about it? Tell me the details. You go, I don't know.
Well, what I'm saying is Florio came out with the numbers of his.
Okay. What do we got?
Find them now. I don't have them memorized. I don't want to get them wrong. I know the.
Here it is. I'll have to look it up because.
Here we go. Ready? I got it.
I'm ready.
Cam makes 1.6, this is according to Florio, 1.6 million if he has 8 sacks and the Steelers make the playoffs. He gets another 1.6 million if he has 11.5 sacks and the Steelers win a playoff game. However, I don't know what the last part was. The other, last part is I think if he doesn't reach a certain amount of snaps, that his guaranteed money gets cut down for next year to something almost minimal.
Huh.
Is it worth it?
Was all that nonsense?
That's what I'm saying. That's my point.
For him. Point. Yeah. It seems like a bunch of stuff that is, I don't know, in the case of, how many sacks did Cam have last year?
9, 10.
Okay. So that seems likely, right?
Yeah, it's likely. I think it falls under the likely to be earned category, but I don't think the other one does.
What was the other one? 11.5 and
a playoff win.
How many times has he had he's hit that number once, and it was 8 years ago. So that's unlikely to be earned.
Yeah. So probably best case scenario. Best case scenario, he can make $1.6 million raise. Worst case scenario is guaranteed money drops to something. It's something really small.
And what's that? Hold on. What's that clause, that caveat again?
If he doesn't play 30% of the snaps this year. So if he gets hurt.
Oh, okay.
Every chance to say, see ya.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like it's worth it. This is what happens when you try to negotiate with someone with very little to no leverage over them. If they give you anything at all, it's a favor, and that's what the Steelers did to him. They did him the favor of giving him the 1.6 million bonus or whatever it is if he hits 8 sacks and they go to the playoffs. But that's it. Was that worth all the nonsense in the media over the last month?
He first of all thought he was going to get more than that. So, in his perspective,
I keep coming back to that, Mark. Why would he think that? They had no reason to do anything for him other than the fact that he's Cam Hayward.
Well, and he had a freaking all-pro season. But I think that what hurt him was that they gave him the guaranteed money in March, you know, the $13 million. So I can give you 2 guaranteed monies.
Right.
No, we already gave you 1. I'm not doing 2 in a matter of.
And that's what I mean by having no leverage. Like it all comes back to making the decision he did a year ago. And at the time, it felt like a smart decision for him, I'm sure, because he was getting a little bit of security in the deal. Right. And that's I don't blame anybody for wanting that, especially in this line of work where, bang, the next day you're gone and they don't have to give you anything unless it's written into the contract. But when you decide to do that, you decide to say, yeah, you know what? I'm willing to take the security of this deal now. You got to understand that a year later, you're not going to have any leverage. Mm. He never had any other than the fact that he's Cam Hayward, a longtime face of the franchise. He's been here for 15 years. And the bonus that they did write in, which now seems very attainable, is a favor by them.
Yeah. They didn't have to give him that. $6 million. I mean, 8 sacks is probably right at the mark. And
it's what he had last year.
Yeah, making the playoffs isn't something that's out of the realm of possibility. So that $1.6 million could be it, but I mean, the second incentive's out the door. Come on.
So it basically it came down to he's saying I can be as good, if not better than last year, guys, and I'd like to be paid for that. And they said, okay, that's great. If you can be as good as last year again at the age of 36, we'll break you off a little extra. If you can be better somehow at age 36 than you've been at any point in your career since you were 28 years old, okay, then we'll give you this other bonus. But it's all a favor. That's all it is.
You know what? He's taking a little bit of a risk, too, because if he does get hurt and plays less than 30% of the snaps, I mean, that $13 million roster bonus due next year drops by $12
million. Yep, I mean, it's gone.
Now he has to go out and, you know, if you put it this way, if he plays less than 30% of the snaps this year, he's no longer a Pittsburgh Steeler next year.
Yeah. You're right, because that's the kind of injury that probably precludes him.
Since we're not giving you any money. You're still under contract, but you have no guaranteed money. Why would I stay here? Get me out of here.
Do you really think he'd look at the situation if, let's say, and knock on wood, we don't want this to happen, but just a theoretical, a hypothetical. Let's say Cam gets hurt, I don't know, in the Ireland game in week four, and it's the kind of injury that keeps him out most, if not all, of the rest of the season, right? So he doesn't hit that 30% mark of the snaps to keep the $13 million roster bonus intact for next year, and it drops to the $1 million. Do you really think he'd look at it and go, I'm out of here? I don't know if he would. I think he might be more likely to look at it and go, maybe I'm just done. No?
He doesn't seem like a guy that's anywhere near being done. Unless somebody buys his podcast. By the way, the Cabali and Mac podcast is not for sale.
What are you talking? You can't just throw things up for sale like
that's
that.
That's just, yeah, we can sell it to the highest bidder.
We're not doing that. What we can do is hook you up with some great giveaways. I mentioned the Marc-Andre Fleury signing in store at First and Goal Sports out at South Hills Village next Saturday, September 20th. We'll be giving away tickets to that. To anybody that retweets the correct posts on Twitter this week, you'll see them labeled. All you gotta do is retweet. Make sure you're following Cabali and Mac on Twitter. We've also got the Yoli's gift certificate, $100. For those of you that make sure to follow on Instagram, once we get to 500 followers, we'll draw the winner for that. And of course, if you're one of the first 3,018 subscribers on YouTube, you got a chance to win your choice, the autographed Will Hard helmet or autographed Stone Cold Steve Austin, what? Black leather vest. And next week, we may even have another giveaway for you because we're cooking up all kinds of stuff because we appreciate Yin's being a part of the show. You going to go talk to Danny Smith about his balls now?
No, I haven't got any. I mean, who knows? They could be emailing me about it and that my email doesn't work. He's bouncing back and I just responded to it and it got bounced back again. What the hell's going on here?
What the hell's going on out here? Go down to the south side and just take care of business, okay?
Yeah, I mean this email stuff.
This internet. This newfangled internet thing is throwing me for a loop.
You tell me why email keeps bouncing back when it's a correct.
I don't know. Exactly. Go figure it out.
My goodness. You know what another thing is? Damn people at this hotel is driving me nuts again. They won't respond to me. Oh, man. It's going to be on.
Lucky for you, it's a home game this weekend.
What do they say? It's on like Donkey Kong.
Yes, that's what all the kids say now these days. All right, that's going to do it for today. We'll do it again tomorrow morning, probably around 10:30-ish or so, to complete one final episode of prep for the Seahawks as the Steelers get ready for the home opener. Thanks to each and every one of you who's been supporting the show. And just remember, like I said at the top of the show, we're all on the same damn team, okay? So don't forget that, especially on a day like today. We'll talk to you soon. It's Cabali and Mac. Thank you.